So what kind of times do we live in where our sitting president right now trending on Twitter is the fact that his genitals were described as being like Toad from Mario Kart? Have you heard about this?
I haven't, Jay.
People, I saw a post on Facebook saying Mario Kart is trending on Twitter right now. Please do not Google it to find out why. So, of course, I had to Google it to find out why.
It's like blue waffles.
And apparently, don't bring that. God, talk about a throwback. So I Googled it, and apparently Stormy Daniels said that the president's junk reminded her of the mushroom character from Mario Kart.
And you wonder, maybe why they made her sign a non-disclosure.
We have turned into a reality series as a country.
The whole world is just,
it's crazy,
nuts.
Man.
It's, I just have to laugh.
Dude, even with what Bill Clinton went through, we never had descriptions of his junk.
Oh, no, there's a lot of cigar jokes.
Yeah, but we never had any graphic details come out. But now, with our current president, we... And it was... What did she say also? Something about, she mentioned his bush being very untrimmed. And his junk looked like Toad from Mario Kart.
Wow. She's really struggling for her 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, she's trying to keep hold on to it.
She's trying to stay relevant or become relevant. I don't know. Like, I don't pay attention. It's like you saw the all the hurricane coverage from North Carolina.
Yeah, you know, hearts go out to them for sure. Yeah, they got a long way to go.
But once again, news reporters, you know. Yeah.
The Anderson Cooper thing was hilarious.
Somebody posted a thing. It's like, do you pay attention to the media and their fake news? Where I was like, man, I stopped watching the news. I think in about 10 years ago, Hurricane... No, it was after Ike. It wasn't Ike. But we were supposed to have a winter storm. And there's a freaking news reporter standing outside with a bucket of water.
He told me about this one.
With a bucket of water, trying to show what happens when the temperature drops below 32 degrees. And I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous.
But I love this. When we had in Houston that freeze probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and black ice was like the big topic. Like, ever, all of a sudden, everybody had a new word in their vocabulary, black ice, and it was just devastating to think about. Look out for the black ice.
So bad. All right, everybody, welcome to the Scary Dad Podcast. This would be episode 103. It is October 1st. Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween show was 2 days ago, but we are not stuck in the past. We are stuck in the now, so we are assuming that it was a great show.
It will be a
tremendous
show.
But we're in
show.
Our time machine, so we actually had to swing through and bypass the show to get you your episode on time. So we will be doing a recap episode and let you know all about it. But right now, we're actually, you know, we're in that little time warp where we can't get out. But it is October 1st. It is episode 103. And due to some things that have happened in the news lately, the title of this episode is going to be When Animals Attack. Remember that show?
Yes, I do.
So, without further ado, I'm going to ask Mr. Gomez to introduce a segment.
First, the old business.
Okay, let's get right into it. On this date in 1880, the first electric lamp factory opened. It was opened by Thomas Edison.
Didn't we recently talk about electric lamps? Because I remember making the joke about turning it twice.
Well, yeah. Or we recorded this old business before, and then the batteries died.
Okay.
That's why some of this looks familiar.
Okay.
To us, not to the...
When they first started the factory, they set it up to where you had to turn the switch twice every time you had to turn on the damn light?
Imagine. How about turning on the lights in the factory? Yeah. How did they know what they were doing? It's a gaslight factory, which I'll make here. You get the gaslight repairman out to the factory, like, all right, fixing it. This is bullshit.
Just get it turned twice.
Okay, on this date in 1890, Yosemite National Park was established. It was already there. They just drew a line around it and started charging admission.
They said you can't hunt here anymore.
October 1st, this date in 1903, the Boston Americans played the Pittsburgh Pirates in the first World Series. I guess the word American wasn't snazzy enough, so they changed their name to Red Sox. But bunch of,
I don't know if you ever saw that movie on Netflix, The Ridiculous Six. Uh-huh. But there's a scene in it where The Ridiculous Six runs into a guy that's inventing the game of baseball. And like one of the guys hits it all the way outfield and there's no fences. And he's like, I'm not running for that. That shall now be called a home run. You get to run all the bases and you score 1 point.
That's a good idea.
But he's like inventing the game as it goes along. It's hilarious.
Right? You've seen the Robin Williams bit on golf, right?
Yes, yeah.
Where he's like, they keep asking him questions like, oh, you hit it with a straight stick? No, it's a curvy stick. Is it close? No, make it a long way away. You know, it's like, oh, you do that one time? No, 18 times. Just drunk Scotsman coming up with a game.
You know, there was a time in my life where I played golf weekly. And I was talking to a friend of mine last week, and he said, when's the last time you swung the sticks? And I said, almost 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I kind of miss playing golf all of a sudden. I don't know why, because it was the most frustrating thing ever. To be good, you have to play a lot, and mm-hmm. once a week is not enough to be good.
Yeah. The professionals, they play like every day.
Right.
Okay, let's see. On this date in 1908, the Ford Model T goes on sale. Guess how much you could buy one on that day?
Probably a couple of $100.
$825 bucks.
Brand new.
Oh, right off the
show. Still smelling like factory leather.
Which is crazy because that's 1908. I'll pick up some old magazines. Like at an estate sale or something, I picked up a big old stack of old Playboys like about 10 years ago. And you flip through the ads and it's like from the 70s. Like late 60s, early 70s, whatever, and you could buy like a full out factory loaded car for like $2,000. Now there's something more like $40,000. All right, this date in 1958, NASA was created.
It's a pretty big deal.
It is. This date in 1962, the first Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Da, 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 da.
This date in 1971, Walt Disney World opens in Orlando.
Still haven't been to any of the Disney parks.
Really? I was there early last year. It was a lot of fun. Go in the winter. We were there in February and it was hot. Can you imagine what it's like in July?
God, yes.
On this date in 1975, I would have been exactly 2 days old. The Thrilla in Manila, Ali versus Frazier.
I was watching Cheap Seats the other day, and there was this program on ESPN back in the 70s called Superstars, where they picked different athletes from all kind of different sports to compete against each other. And it was a few days after Frazier actually had one of his fights against Foreman. I don't remember which one it was, though, but because they had more than one. But he was in a weightlifting contest against like this guy that was a downhill skier or some shit. Smoking Joe couldn't even lift the bar above his head. It was just sad to see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And of course the skier just threw it right up, came right down with it, and Smoking Joe was just, it was sad.
Couldn't do it.
And then there was a swimming competition where he jumps in the water and the guys in Cheap Seats immediately goes, down goes Frazier! Because he was last place by a mile, dude. It was rough to watch. It was Smoking Joe.
Oh, this date 1982. Sony launches its first consumer CD player. You couldn't really buy CDs for another 5 years. But
right.
But they were there.
Did it have the bass boost?
Probably. Remember those early
anti-skip technology?
Yeah. Why would you ever turn that off? right? Like,
yeah.
And it never really worked. Okay, 1992, Cartoon Network was launched. That was a game changer right there.
Yep, and like we talked about, that was the nail in the coffin for Saturday morning cartoons.
You know what was a nail in the coffin for Saturday morning cartoons? Lobbyists and the government. True story. You wonder why you're not seeing Bugs Bunny and now you're seeing transvaginal mesh lawsuit infomercials? It's because sometime in the late 90s, the government was lobbied because the government made some kind of a rule that Saturday morning television had to be educational or informational or in some other way. So cartoons didn't qualify. And then some lobbyists said that the infomercials were actually educational because people got to learn about the product or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And somebody gaveled down on that and was like, yep, let's do that instead. So no more Bugs Bunny. No more Underdog. And now you get to watch, like, Adler and Associates complain about, you know. But yeah, that's the true story. Is...
You mentioned Adler.
Kids weren't being well enough educated by Bugs Bunny. They needed to know about people's innards.
You mentioned Adler. I saw, for our Houston area listeners, I saw a Jim Adler commercial the other day in Spanish. It was the funniest shit you ever saw. And if you think he's over the top in his English commercials, his Spanish commercials are worse.
Dude's hilarious. It's funny, talking Houston, we talked about it in our 80s cartoons episode, whatever, when we're talking about Transformers and He-Man. So when I was a kid, our local TV show, like I lived in Corpus, and our TV station, He-Man was not on any local affiliates. So you couldn't see He-Man in the town that I lived. So I would have to come, whenever we'd come up here to see my grandmother, that's when I'd get to see He-Man. So, you know, we'd be up here for whatever reason. You know, during the summer, my mom would bring us up for a few days or whatever. And I'd sit there and watch daytime TV, watch He-Man. But back then, Jim McInvale, Mattress Mac, was skinny and young and all coked up. And he used to dress up in a mattress. And he'd jump around and be like, we really do save you money. But Mattress Mac used to wear a mattress.
Right.
And then Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer, he was part of a group. And so it was Adler and O'Connor. And I remember that just burned into my brain because it was like every 5 minutes they'd have a commercial for like lawsuits and then Medicaid. And like, I remember like watching Medicaid. It's like, no matter how old you are and no matter how sick you are, you're covered. And I was like, that's cool. My dad's like, that's for really old people. I'm like, why don't they make it for young people? He's like, because it would crush the system. He's like, this is for old people that can't afford it. I'm like, oh, okay, makes sense. But yeah, like 6 years old, being like,
well, speaking of
I want a new mattress. I want to sue the shit out of a truck driver, and I want some Medicaid because these are the commercials you're showing during He-Man.
Well, speaking of our television personalities at a young age, I was homesick yesterday. And I was watching Buzzer Network old game shows, and Alex Trebek was on they had some kind of special edition of Card Sharks where they had game show hosts on Card Sharks making money for charity. You got all these game show hosts, and they're all in ties and everything, and they're three-piece suits, and fucking Alex Trebek is up there, no tie, a shirt unbuttoned about two extra buttons down, extra large collar, afro kicking,
nice.
Looking pimp as hell, dude, in a white suit with like a purple shirt. Alex Trebek was a pimp back in the day, dude. He did not mess around.
All right, let's run through the notable births real quick because we don't have any notable deaths. It's been a good day. 1910, Bonnie Parker of Bonnie and Clyde fame. Mm-hmm. She was born. Probably didn't think when she was laying in the crib that she'd end up dying riddled with bullets from a murder spree, but, you know, hey. 1920, Walter Matthau, part of the Odd Couple.
I love Walter Matthau.
Yeah, he's hilarious. 1927, Tom Bosley. the dad on Happy Days.
Right. Not the hair club for men, but... yeah, no, no.
1930, Richard Harris. So many movies.
Yes.
Most notably, Dumbledore at the end. That was the one that... You know, his final role.
Uh-huh.
In 1950, The Shitter's Full, Clark. Randy Quaid.
The awesome Randy Quaid. Mr. Oh, Tax Evader himself.
Poor Randy Quaid. He gets all conspiracy minded and tinfoil hats. Doesn't pay his taxes, so when they come for him, he's like, they're coming for me. It's like,
well, no shit.
Well, yeah, that's what they do. But anyway, happy birthday, Randy, wherever you are, out on the compound, down on the farm somewhere. And with that, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
When the movie Jaws first opened, it created a sensation. And shark sightings increased by the thousands in all the vast and unknown depths of the ocean. How could there have been only one? Once, there was a terrible tragedy here. But today, Amity has a new hotel and the promise of a perfect summer. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, the legend continues.
Harry?
Chief? Chief Brody, can we go, please?
I think we may have another shark problem. Are you serious?
Roy Scheider.
The homies was incredible.
Lorraine Gary. And Murray Hamilton.
Look at this. That's a shark.
Look, Brody, you started a panic on a public beach. Now, what if somebody decides to sue us? That's a shark. Did you ever stop to think about that?
And I know what a shark looks like because I've seen one up close. You better do something about this one because I don't intend to go through that hell again.
Don't press it this time.
Mike is out there.
Over there.
Husband is still out there.
Get me out! Yes!
Yes! None of man's fantasies of evil can compare with the reality of Jaws. The all-new Jaws 2. See it before you go back in the water.
And we're back.
Here we are. And we'll get into a little bit of the...
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Tom Holland, not Spider-Man, but the actual master of horror writer, director, has given his go-ahead for a theater in Pittsburgh to adapt Fright Night into a stage play. As you know, we currently have the Evil Dead stage play going on right now, and should be coming to Houston eventually. This will be another horror movie that will be adapted to the theater, which ought to be pretty neat. You know, I'm a big fan of Fright Night, and it'll be cool to see that adapted for the stage. So.
Definitely.
Fright Night is awesome. Okay. The Nun. The Nun has successfully made the Conjuring series the most profitable, the biggest money-making horror franchise ever in the history of everything.
Wow.
Which I found pretty interesting.
That's above Alien?
Yes. They are currently at $1.333 billion. Puts it above Alien, puts it above The Matrix, puts it above Deadpool 2, puts it above so many horror... There's no horror movies that come close to it except for Alien. Alien's at $1.32 billion.
Wow.
But yeah, The Conjuring... I need to catch up on The Conjuring series because honestly, I've kind of been lacking at it as of late.
I saw the first one and it was really good. I enjoyed the first one a lot. I didn't catch the second one, which was Annabelle.
Okay.
The reason I didn't catch the second one, which was Annabelle, is the Conjuring series is based off the investigations of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah.
The paranormal investigators. Yeah. And they used the Annabelle doll that they have in their museum. The actual
the doll that
doll
was, yeah,
is a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah.
And if you go to the internet and you Google it real fast, you can find a story about Annabelle and where it came from and and it's not as...
It's very questionable as far as their story goes.
Well, the story is questionable, but the whole thing in the movie... Like, all of that stuff... Like, The Conjuring was based on a true story about some people who moved into a house and there was, you know, possession in there. Then Annabelle was one of those things that's like... It was sort of a side stream. It was a side story. But Annabelle is a true story. I don't know... I don't think the movie itself... Because even the doll was like this cracked-faced porcelain where the real Annabelle was Raggedy Ann. So I was kind of like, it's kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's like, when it's based on a true story, you're kind of like, okay, I don't have to know that there was like an actual, you know, human-faced, mask-wearing chainsaw murder. All I have to know is that there was some crazy shit that went down in the Texas
right.
desert. Come to find out, crazy shit didn't go down in the Texas desert. It was loosely based on Ed Gein.
A guy that killed two people.
From Milwaukee. You know, so like, okay, that's not, you know, so Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 didn't really draw me in for the rest of the story because it's like, okay, this is pure fiction.
Right.
I don't mind pure fiction. I love pure fiction. But allegory and based on a true story, I really want to know the truth. I want to know what's behind it.
Right.
And once I've been kind of pushed off that path, I'm kind of like, meh.
There's a movie recently that I saw that what they say is it's inspired by a true story, which I think would be a much better term to use for a lot of these movies as opposed to based on a true story.
Yeah,
it would definitely go a lot further in my opinion, but
because damn near everything's based on a true story.
Yeah,
like I don't know, your kid babbles some things. Okay, so I told you probably, you know, it was on the podcast years and years ago. So my wife and I are sitting, and at the time she was like 3. My daughter walks through the living room, stops, stares at a blank wall, points and screams, and then runs and jumps in my lap. And when we asked her what was wrong, she said it was the little boys. So my wife and I pretty much shit a brick. The what? And there's nothing there. Like, there's absolutely nothing there for her to be afraid of. So we're trying to figure it out, what the hell is going on. And my other daughter comes in, and she like walked by, and she's like, what? No. And she points at the house plant. She's like, there's roly-polies in the plant. But you know what? I could have written The Shining about that moment. Right. It would have been technically based on a true story. So, anyway.
Okay.
Moving on.
You know how duct tape is kind of a cure-all around here? Well, in Cuba, condoms are the new duct tape.
Really?
Yes. They don't have a lot of supplies in Cuba. Well, while Cuba has been freed with trade sanctions and whatnot, for years in Cuba, condoms have been used for a ton of different things. Cubans use them to fish, ferment wine, fix punctures, and tie up hair. The latex condoms have become the ultimate multi-purpose tool in the communist-run island, where shortages of basic goods have forced locals to become masters of invention. Because of all the trade sanctions, they haven't had a lot of goods that get imported. A lot of times on the black market, things are just too expensive. Whatever the average wage is, $30 a month. So condoms, because they've been dumped there and imported from Asia in bountiful supply, people have taken to different uses. For example, for fishing, they use them as a... Remember we were talking about the trout lines the other day that you were talking about? We used to call them jug fish. They use them, they inflate them, tie them off on a line, let them float out, and actually jug fish with condoms.
Makes a lot of sense.
So there's like tons of things that use the condoms, but I thought that was interesting that condoms are the duct tape of Cuba.
Yeah, the sail line was such that it was like... It's a trout line. That's all it is. It was a jug line. The only difference is take your jug, put a sail on it, set it in a windy bay, and then have a winch so it carries out like a mile.
Right.
And then at some point you just hit the button on your winch and it rolls it in.
Right.
And then you start just pulling fish off the line and throwing them in your chest.
So we used to jug fish for garfish all the time. And I remember it was so much fun because you put all your jugs out and you just... While your jugs were out, you'd fish for sockeye or crappie. And you'd see a jug duck underwater. And you'd wait for it to come back up. And it might come back up like 30 yards away. So you go run your boat over, duck down again. And you would chase that jug all day until that garfish finally got tired. You'd go ahead and pull him up. Man, it used to be so much fun, dude. So much fun. All right.
No gar can take three barrels. Three jugs. No gar can take three jugs.
As you know, we've talked about how Florida Man is on vacation right now from Florida because of hurricane season. Well, Florida Man showed up in Killeen, Texas, where a 43-year-old man ended up in intensive care after he seriously injured himself. What was described as a two-week binge on bath salts caused him to cut off his own genitals, after which point he sucked them in the microwave and cooked them. So they're no good anymore. He's a eunuch, basically. He's what the guys in Ice Pirates were almost turned into. 43-year-old man rushed to a nearby hospital. Remains in critical condition because of severe blood loss. Bath salts are bad. Smoke weed. Yeah. And not K2 or that other crazy shit. Okay, remember back in the day, we used to watch The Roadrunner. And Wile E. Coyote would go ahead, and the Roadrunner would switch out a candle of his with dynamite and allow him to blow himself up. Mm. Connecticut woman recently had a power outage where they didn't know how long electricity was going to be out. They tried to run down to Home Depot, pick up some flashlights and batteries. Home Depot was closed. Shit. So they go back home, and they go down to the basement. And the previous owners had left a box of candles down there. So she went ahead and grabbed a couple of the candles and brought upstairs and put them in a little candle holder and lit it. Well, unbeknownst to her, it was a 3/4 stick of dynamite.
Damn.
And she ended up in the hospital shortly thereafter.
No shit.
The texture of a piece of dynamite and candle are pretty different.
Yeah.
You know, but granted, maybe a lot of people don't realize that, you know, but yeah, she ended up blowing and she was the only one that was nearby that actually got injured. She didn't die, she got hurt. But yeah, she lit a 3/4 stick of dynamite, thinking it was
probably
a candle.
Blew up the kitchen pretty good,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But luckily, none of the kids at the house were anywhere around there or anything. And last but not least, Texas Frightmare Weekend is really... And the thing about it is the big announcements haven't happened yet. That's what's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But they've recently announced the king himself, Mr. Bruce Campbell, and Ted Raimi for the 2019 Texas Frightmare Weekend.
And between those two, that's pretty much the entire cast of the entire Evil Dead series.
So that's pretty awesome, dude.
I think Ted Raimi played like eight parts in
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty awesome to hear. Texas Frightmare Weekend is seriously bringing it once again for their 14th year. They've got Tim Curry, Cassandra Peterson. Joe Bob Briggs is going to be in the house. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time.
Did you see that thing Tim Curry, somebody tweeted to him, like, man, I wish
he had a big catalog.
And he's like, I've been in 230 TV and movies, 25 big stage, you know, stage productions, theater productions. I've been in so many, like, audiobooks that, you know, my voice was, like, over 10 hours long. He's like, and I've seduced many, many humans in my time. He's like, I had to sleep at some point. It's like, dude, you are awesome.
Yeah, he is. That was a good comeback. Or clap back, as the kids say.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, that's it. I'm done.
Awesome. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Right.
In we are.
Thinking.
A grizzly is an animal, Kelly. Don't give it human qualities.
See, he doesn't understand that we're dealing with a highly intelligent beast.
Grizzly bear attacked a couple of hunters and killed the guide. And so started thinking about, okay, well, everybody's scared of sharks, everybody's scared of bears. Nobody, not as many people are scared of bears as sharks. But in order to do the show, because I figured we'd talk about it and maybe do some movies, and I printed off two lists. And one is list of fatal, unprovoked shark attacks in the United States for basically the last 18 years. So from 2000 till now. And a list of fatal bear attacks in North America for the same time period. I'm going to hand you both lists and tell me which one is bigger.
Oh, wow. Bears tear ass, apparently.
Bears rip it up. So...
Well, the thing about it is I know more people go to the beach than hunt. But mm-hmm. as someone that has hunted for a long time, bears scare me.
True. But we talked earlier, you know, Yosemite National Park. There's nothing special about Yosemite that makes it like your average, you know, splash pad, vote early city park. It's not like that. Somebody drew some boundaries on a map and said,
you can't touch anything here.
You can't do things in here. But people go there all the time. People go to Big Bend. People go hunting or not, just hikers, yeah. campers, people going out in the woods.
To enjoy the outdoors.
And, you know, people go to the beach, and people are always thinking, like, oh, man, like, be careful, sharks. Like, there's, it's always on your mind. Quote from Jaws, you scream barracuda, people go, even though more people are attacked by them, and they're a lot more brutal. You scream shark, you gotta panic. They've got a problem in the Northeast with sharks, because seals have started migrating in, so there's a lot of seals, and it's drawing in the sharks.
They follow the food source, right.
And, great whites specifically have been on the endangered species list for so long that they're no longer endangered.
Yeah, the numbers have increased.
But, but nobody wants to put them back on the list. Like, nobody wants to allow fishing again because of all the PR nightmare that would be. But they're out there, and they're big.
And they're hungry.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
They're really not that discriminating.
No, they eat. They eat stuff that gets in their way.
You'll hear people talk about shark attacks and be like, well, the shark doesn't mean to eat a person. The shark doesn't mean to eat much of anything. That's just what it does. You know? It closes in and takes a bite. Right. And most of the time, he runs unchallenged. Because anything that's big enough to fight him will usually chase him off. But we're talking like killer whales and bigger. Mm-hmm. Anything else,
it's food, it's lunch.
He doesn't care. So, you might be 6 feet tall, and he might be 16 feet long, and he might not particularly care for you because you're not fatty enough and a little too bony. But all that's going to make him do is snack later. He's not going to apologize, and it's not going to put yourself back together. So, there is a respect that comes. But there's also a serious, I think, a fear, a respect, a caution that comes with not knowing where they are. You can't see sharks.
Until it's too late.
They're camouflaged from underneath. They can be right around you. You won't see them. So that adds a little bit of fear and caution. The truth is, the same can be said for bears, but people don't think about it like that. People don't... It's weird, because I never... Like, we were just in Seattle. We were up in the mountains. We're up in Mount Rainier. There's signs everywhere that says you're in bear country.
Well, by the time you notice it, it's a little bit too late. It's there.
Right. But they're talking about, like, leaving your trash out, like take your trash with you, you know, lock stuff, don't feed them. If you see them, get away.
Right.
You know, and, like, fair enough. Like, I'm not disrespectful of the bears, but never once did I see one of those signs and kind of get a shudder.
Yeah.
I didn't have a primal fear of the unknown. Hell, they could have been all around me, and I never would have known, and I never thought twice about it. Even though there was a fatal mountain lion attack in the same mountains, just like on the other side, like a week before. I actually had a mind for mountain lions rather than bears. But you saw that list.
Yeah.
This list is about four times as big in the same period. Fatal attacks by bears. So, if you want to read off a couple of the fatal shark attacks, just kind of... They're all pretty much the same. Just, you know, pick and choose a few. The one at the top was the most recent one.
Most recent one, right. Most recent one was author Medici?
Medici or Medici?
September 15th, 2018... was attacked near Newcomb Hollow Beach in Cape Cod. He was boogie boarding when a shark came up and took him out.
Yeah, bit him on the legs.
Yeah. Lots of attacks by tiger sharks. Margaret Cruz in April 29th, 2015 in Maui, Hawaii. Bitten in the upper torso while snorkeling by an unknown species of shark at a popular surfing spot known as the Dumps. Body was found floating face down by other snorkelers. She lost an arm in the attack. Another great white attack. Francisco Javier Solario, October 23rd, 2012, in California. Died after he was bitten on the left side of his upper torso by a great white shark while surfing. Attack occurred at Surf Beach near Vandenberg Air Force Base. Just 2 years after a fatal attack in the same location. And that one was Lucas Ransom, 19. He died after a great white shark pulled him off his bodyboard just before 9 a.m. 100 yards off Surf Beach. suffered the loss of his left leg, resulting in massive blood loss. So the thing about shark attacks is, man, they just razor sharp teeth. You're going to bleed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most of the deaths are from actual blood loss. Bull shark attacks Stephen Howard Schaefer, February 3rd, 2010. He was kite surfing 500 yards from an unguarded section of the beach in Martin County, Florida. They initially thought multiple sharks may have been involved in the incident due to reports by rescuers that he was surrounded by sharks. But he included the dive from massive blood loss from a leg wound. So yeah, sharks, when a shark does attack, it's, like I said, it's mainly blood loss is what you lose.
Oh yeah. They sometimes they'll eat you, but a shark's general MO, even whenever you watch them attacking like seals and stuff, is they hit whatever it is they're hitting. They don't want to fight. They don't want to spend the energy.
Right.
So when they hit you, they take a bite, they take a gash, they take a chunk of flesh, then they go swim around until you bleed out.
They wait for you to bleed out, right.
And then they come back when you're weakened and chew you up.
But it's crazy the number of great white shark attacks that you see. Because, you know, you see Jaws, you don't think, you know they're endangered. You don't think there's going to be that many out there. But great whites do the majority of fatalities on people, man.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Well, it's because of the way they attack. It's interesting because there's so much been research done on great whites since the 70s when Jaws came out. Peter Benchley regretted having written Jaws, even though it brought him to fortune and fame, because there was such a fear of sharks, there was overfishing, there was a straight up murder on great whites themselves, pretty much drove them to the brink of extinction. Great whites were always a game fish. Like, if you could hook one, you know, you look at the monster you landed. When they put them on the endangered species list, then of course all that went away, and then conservation and people getting educated about the animal and all this stuff. It's interesting because I remember reading an article back in the 90s, and there was this guy, he was a fisherman, he had been a great white fisherman. Specifically, he was a tour guide in Australia, where they're tough. And he was saying, because at the time they had just re-legalized hunting for alligators in Louisiana and Texas both. But what happened was, the populations had gone down from hunting and environment encroachment. When they put them on the endangered species list, then not only did their numbers come back, but they were also no longer afraid, and they didn't have any other predators after them. So their numbers came back, completely surpassed their original numbers, like their normal population numbers, and then they became a nuisance and a dangerous one. Because then they were attacking pets, they were attacking
people,
you know, getting into houses and pools and all kinds of stuff. This guy was saying the same thing's going to happen. He's like, I've been fishing great whites for 20 years. It's like, I've never not had a good day. Like, there's plenty of them out there. And he's like, so many of the attacks don't get reported. Because, and this was before National Geographic really started showing them breaching for seals.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, he's like, that whole thing about them jumping into boats and, like, breaching to come out and get stuff off of things, they do that. He's like, that's not fiction. He's like, we just had a guy not too long ago, his jet ski washed ashore, and they're like, well, he must have fallen off and drowned. He's like, he didn't fall off and drown.
He was taken off.
Something took him off that jet ski. He's like, and that's what they do. They're kind of unique that way. That's what they do.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that sticking in my head, just kind of being, because it's interesting as hell. This old Quint-like fisherman being like, that shark will swallow you whole. And then, after they went on the endangered species list, then suddenly they're like, watch, they breach. Like, David Attenborough's like, it's never been filmed before. You know, like, watching them pop up out of the water to snatch seals.
Right.
Then the YouTube video of them hopping them into boats and smashing around. And, like, all of the stuff that this old guy was saying that they do, we've got video of them doing. And now their populations have come roaring back. And they're they're king of the sea at this point.
Right.
Like they're
and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you got East Coast. You also have West Coast attacks also with great whites.
They've got trackers on them where they follow them right up into the Gulf, like right off of like Louisiana, Texas. Yeah. Like, yeah, they're everywhere. They're an apex predator.
They're killing machines, man. We got David Martin, 66 years old. He was killed while swimming with a group of eight other triathletes. Could you imagine being in a triathlon and you're in a group and one of the guys from the group gets taken under by a great white shark? Because you can't go anywhere. You're in the water. You got to keep swimming.
Yeah.
Just got to swim faster than the slowest person, I guess. You got Jamie Daigle, 14. She was killed by a bull shark in Walton County, Florida. East of Destin, Randy Fry, another guy killed by a great white shark, also off of the coast of California, near Gibesola Rock. His headless body was recovered the next day. Head washed ashore 2 miles north on September 3rd of 2014. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Willis McKinnis killed by a tiger shark. Attacked while surfing off of Pohaku Park, Maui, Hawaii. Died a short time after the attack as a result of blood loss from severe wounds in his right thigh. Courtney Mercher was killed in 2004 by a tiger shark while surfing at Velzaland, North Shore of Oahu, Hawaii. Undamaged surfboard was found 3 miles off the point by a fisherman 3 days later, 18 miles north of her last unknown location and consistent with currents. Police reported Marcher had a history of seizures and may have run into trouble in the water, although she had been taking medication to control epilepsy. On the day she vanished, wave faces averaged 6 feet, but she was described as healthy and a strong swimmer, so it's unconfirmed is the type of shark, but they're thinking it was a tiger shark. And we had another great white shark also off of California. You don't think California for great white sharks, but they have a lot.
They have a lot. Yeah, deep in cold water.
Deborah Fransman, 50 years old, attacked at approximately 8:15 a.m. while swimming in 15 feet of water, 75 yards off the pier at Avila Beach, California. Bitten on the left hip and lower right leg by a shark estimated to be 15 to 18 feet long. She was swimming with seals whenever it happened, so she was kind of in the middle of all their food. 2001, Eric Reichart, possibly a bull shark or a tiger shark, died in Broward County, Florida. The rest of them are bull shark attacks that we have. September 2001, Sergei Zalukov, killed while swimming with his girlfriend and the surf in Avon, Hatteras Island, Dare County, North Carolina. And then we had another guy, David Pelche, a young boy, 10 years old, killed while surfing with his father and brothers in San... And it's got to be horrible to see your son pulled under by a shark and not be able to do anything about it. South of Virginia Beach, Virginia, died of severe injuries to the lower leg. And Thaddeus Kubinski, in August 30th, 2000, killed while swimming in Pinellas County, Florida, by a bull shark. The shark raced towards him with his dorsal fin out of the water. He died from massive blood loss and organ damage before rescuers can get to him. In the 90s, even more.
Well, I didn't print out the 90s, if there's a couple of them.
Yeah, there's some of the 90s here also.
Yeah, I was just trying to go back to the eight, you know, for the same span, 20
right,
years.
Right.
So from 2000 to 2000, most of those are great whites.
Yeah. Yeah, the majority are great whites.
There are a lot of non-fatal attacks by other sharks. Because, you know, you have that YouTube idiot who holds a shark up to his nipple and it clamps. That's technically a shark attack. Or it's an injury, like you report it. You're like,
Segway. See the recent video of the guy that let an alligator bite his nutsack?
Why would you do that? I don't even know what happened.
The reason for people do it. But yeah, there's a video floating around right now. This guy pulls his nutsack out, does the alien brain, and lets an alligator bite it.
Jesus. People are just messed up.
Yeah, lots of great white attacks.
Maybe
that's just the United States. Think about that.
Yeah, that's North America.
Right.
Maybe the nutsack alligator guy. Maybe. He needs to, like, go down to the basement and pick up a candle that's really dynamite and, like, just not breathe.
Well, I'm sure you saw the guy that's also holding a snapping turtle the wrong way. I know the right way to hold a snapping turtle. I used to hunt him. And he goes to give it a little kiss.
Oh, yeah. See that? Bites out his face off.
All right. Ready to get into some bears?
Well, yeah. Well, like, just off the top of your head, count those off. How many was that in the last 20 years? Like 20? 20
years. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Because this is, this list is almost three times as long. We're not going to read every single one, just some of them, but...
21
shark
over
attacks
the last 20 years.
In 20 years. So
fatal shark attacks.
So, and these are fatal bear attacks. So we're going to just read up to 20. Some of them we'll skip because I think there's at least that many bear, a black bear, before we even get to grizzlies. So, Erin Johnson, 27, female, in a Pogo Mine, Alaska. She was a contract employee for Pogo Mine. She was killed while collecting soil samples. The bear was shot and killed by mine personnel.
I used to work with the Pogo Oil Company a lot.
Patrick Cooper, 16, male, June 18th, 2017. Location, Indian, Alaska. Cooper was chased and mauled by a bear while running in the juniors division of the Bird Ridge Trails running race. Cooper texted his family after completing the race to say he was being followed by a bear. Searchers found the runner's remains 500 yards from the trail and shot the bear in the face with a shotgun, which scared the bear and forced him into the woods away from the body. The bear was never captured. Daniel Ward O'Connor, 27, male, some in Mackenzie, British Columbia, May 10th, 2015. Ward was killed by a bear while he slept near the fire pit at his campsite. His fiancée, who slept in a nearby motorhome, discovered his body the following morning. The bear was later shot and killed by conservation authorities. This, the literal let's split up, this is horrifying. Darsh Patel, 22, male, September 21, 2014, in New Jersey. Patel was about to begin hiking with four friends in Apashaw Preserve when they met a man and a woman at the entrance who told them that there was a bear nearby and advised them to turn around. They continued on, found the bear, and Patel and another hiker took photos. They turned and began walking away, but the bear followed them. The hikers ran in different directions and found that Patel was missing when they regrouped. Authorities found Patel's body after searching for 2 hours. A black bear found in the vicinity was killed, although it's unknown which bear was involved in the incident. It was the first fatal bear attack on a human in New Jersey on record.
Wow.
Lorna Wafer, 36, female, May 7th, 2014, near McMurray, Alberta, Canada. Wafer was a Suncor worker and was attacked at the remote North Steinbach oil sands mine while walking back to work after a trip to the washroom. Efforts by co-workers to scare off the bear were unsuccessful. A preliminary investigation determined that the attack was predatory. She was killed for food.
Uh-huh.
Robert Weaver, 64, male. Weaver was attacked by a black bear while walking back to his cabin on George Lake. According to his wife, she was able to flee inside the cabin and was uninjured. A 230-pound adult male black bear on the scene was killed by troopers and found to have some of Weaver's remains in his stomach.
Normally when you think bear attacks, you think grizzly, Kodiak, the big guys.
We're getting there.
But all bears are deadly.
Lana Hollingsworth, 61, female, Pine Top, Lakeside, Arizona. So we've done Alaska, Canada, New Jersey, and then to Arizona. Hollingsworth was attacked by a 250-pound black bear while walking her dog at a country club. Nearly a month later, and after 11 surgeries, she died from a massive brain hemorrhage, which doctors believe was a result of the attack. The bear was tracked, shot, and killed.
You don't think of Arizona as a big bear place.
You don't think of country clubs.
Right.
As a place you're going to get attacked by a bear. Bernice Adolph, 72, female, June 2011. Her remains were found by police dogs after she was reported missing. She was an elder in the Zampil First Nation. There's evidence that bears fed on her remains and tried to enter her house. An autopsy confirmed she died from a bear attack. 5 bears suspected of being involved were killed by conservation officers. And DNA tests confirmed that one of the bears actually did kill her. This is some horror movie stuff right there.
Oh, yeah.
5 bears break into your house and kill you? We're watching a werewolf movie and we're like, you're supposed to be safe at home. So this one was a captive bear. Brent Kendra, 24, male, in Ohio. He was a bear caretaker on property of Sam Mazzola that kept exotic pets. The bear was out of its cage for feeding. Prior to the attack, he had Sam had his license to exhibit revoked, but was still allowed to keep the animals on property. So that's just one of those. It sucks.
Yeah.
But he wasn't just out walking in the woods.
Right. He had the bear. He brought the bears to him.
Okay. Same time span. Brown bear. Grizzlies. Those are all black bears. The little black bears you see on little...
We used to see them in Louisiana every once in a while. They used to intrude upon the suburban areas every once in a while and stuff. So
Mike Soltis, 44, June 19th, 2018, in Eagle River, Alaska. Soltis was backpacking alone along the Eagle River. After failing to return, a search party was dispatched. Rangers found a grizzly bear sitting on his remains. The bear then attacked the search party, badly mauling one searcher. This was in June. And we didn't read about this.
No.
The search party retreated from the area. The bear escaped before more searchers arrived. Brad Treat, 38, June 29, 2016, Flathead National Forest, Montana. Treat and another man were on a mountain bikes on U.S. Forest Service land near Half Moon Lakes. According to the official Board of Review, Treat's mountain bike collided at high speed with a large male grizzly bear after he rounded a blind curve in the trail. The bear immediately attacked in response to being struck by the bicycle. The second rider escaped uninjured and summoned help. The bear was identified via DNA from a previous research project. It was not captured or killed because its behavior was a natural response to a surprise encounter involving physical contact. But holy shit. You round a blind corner and, like, smash your bike into a bear and he just rips you apart.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. And then your family, I'm like, my son was killed by a bear. They're like, sorry. Bear had right away. I mean, I shouldn't laugh. I mean, it's horrifying.
But you're not going to do much against a bear.
Lance Crosby, August 7th, 2015, Yellowstone National Park, Wyoming. Commissioned this day in 1890. Crosby, an employee at a medical clinic in the park, was reported missing when he did not report for work. Park ranger found his body in a popular off-trail area less than a mile from the Black Loop Trail, an area he was known to frequent. His body was partially consumed and covered. Puncture wounds on his arms indicated he had tried to defend himself. Based on the presence of a sow grizzly and a cub in the area, the sow was deemed responsible for attack. The sow was captured and euthanized after it was found to be the bear that killed Crosby. There were public appeals not to kill the bear, but park superintendent decided there was a risk the sow might kill again. Based on July 6, 2011 and August 24, 2011 killings in the park, where another bear was responsible for both killings. Once they get that taste of blood.
Right. Easy prey.
Ken Notvi, 53, male, September 17th, 2014, while on a hunting trip near Norman Wells, This is in Canada as well. He was charged and struck by a bear. Friends reported he had just killed a moose and was prepping his prize when the bear came out of nowhere. He died on the scene.
Shit.
Rick Cross, 54, male, Alberta, Canada. He was a hunter too, was killed by a mother bear when he accidentally got between she and her cubs. Park Ranger said it appeared that Cross managed to fire his rifle before being overwhelmed. He wandered into the area where the mother and a cub were feeding on a dead deer. I don't think we need to go into the following in the previous decade.
we're definitely out surpassing the shark attacks for sure.
Yeah, between brown and black bears. A little bit more horror for you. This is up in Wyoming as well. Albert Thomas Stewart, 31, male, September 4th, 2014. Stewart was a researcher in the National Forest. This is a high-density bear habitat. He was in Cub Creek after he failed to return. A search found his body. Coroner suspects it was a grizzly, but the species was never officially determined. He was not carrying bear spray or a firearm. Richard White, 49, male, Denali National Park, Alaska. He was backpacking along the Tlaxcalat River. After hikers found an abandoned backpack and torn clothing, rangers investigated and found a male grizzly bear sitting on White's remains. The bear was killed. A necropsy of the bear and photographs recovered from White's camera confirmed the attack. The photographs in White's camera showed that he was taking photos of the bear a span of 8 minutes. It was the first fatal bear attack recorded in Denali back in 2012. And finally, Thomas Puerta, 54, male, October 2012 in Alaska. Passersby spotted an unattended skiff. They investigated and encountered a grizzly bear and two cubs. Alaska State Troopers and Sitka Mountain Rescue personnel then found evidence of a campsite and a fire on the beach. There was evidence of a struggle, and upon following a trail of disturbed vegetarian, they found his body cached and partially eaten.
Wow.
That was between now and 2012. That was
right.
Like 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years.
And we're about running out of time. So, next time you're out in the woods at all for really any reason,
if you bear spray,
if you've ever shuddered at the idea of a shark attack, might be a good idea to have some pepper spray in your pocket, maybe a stick or a staff. If you're like me, maybe a hand cannon or two.
What was it on when animals attack? They say whenever you encounter a bear, to make yourself real big.
Bears don't give a shit.
Yeah, no.
I remember my grandfather telling me that because we used to hunt when I was a kid, and he'd tell me that, because, you know, oh, you're going to go up and you're going to shoot elk or moose or whatever. It's like, man, these stories are like Jack London, you know. Like, he's like, yeah, he's like, those guides would take a big, like, 45 long Colt or 357 pistol, like these basically short rifled pistols with stocks on them.
Uh-huh.
And if you shot a bear and knocked it down, then they'd walk up and shoot the bear in the head with the pistol. And so I'm thinking, like, why would you do that? It's like, because the bear's heart beats so slowly that you could shoot a bear in the heart, it'll fall over from the shock, but then it'll have enough oxygen in the blood still in its body that it'll still get up and hit you.
Right.
And like, and you don't want, he's like, they can take off a horse's head with one swipe of their paw. It can be a dying gasp, and they'll knock you out, right, kill you. So those guides, you shoot the bear, and the guide has a bigger bullet, and because they're just, but yeah, bears are not to be messed with.
No.
If you're going to be scared of something, sharks versus bears, be scared of bears. I never would have thought that.
We've got more land area in North America than you have beach area, so I can see where those attacks would happen more frequently.
Most every place has more land area than,
yeah,
beach. But still, nobody's really, doesn't walk around being scared of bears.
Right.
but apparently they can get you in your house. Sharks won't do that. All you have to be...
You have to go to the sharks.
You only have to be like a few feet out of the water. You know, like a killer whale might beach itself to bite you. A shark won't do that. A shark's certainly not going to knock on your door.
Right.
Hello? Candy Graham? Like, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, too fitting.
Anyway, not to make light of the recent tragic deaths. I mean, they just happened kind of back to back. Nature seems to be kind of on a roll. But thank you for listening to this episode 103 of the Scary Dad Podcast. It's October 1st. Hope your Halloween preparations are going well. I know ours are full in effect. Because we have all that stuff that we took to Halloween show and all the stuff we bought at Halloween show that we brought home that we haven't had a chance to put away yet. So with that has been one more episode of the Scary Dad Podcast, and I'm just going to shout it out now. Keep it scary.
Later.
Thank you.